Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Taboka Ncube. Tonight, we are discussing the new year 2024, which begins this Monday amidst a subdued economic outlook for Zimbabwe and drought that will leave 2.7 million people needing humanitarian assistance. But first, let's take a look at what's happening in other parts of the world. 2023 demolished temperature records worldwide. It was the hottest year on record, and some scientists say the hottest in 125,000 years. Those supercharged temperatures helped drive a series of climate disasters around the world. VOA Steve Paragona has a look back.
Wildfires in Canada, flooding in Libya. Two disasters in a year of weather extremes. 2023 will go down as the hottest year on record. Every month from June through November was the hottest for that time of year.
July 2023 was the warmest July on record for the globe. It was the warmest July by a long shot.
September's global temperatures were so much hotter than normal that one climate scientist called them absolutely gobsmackingly bananas. Relentless heating from human-driven climate change, plus the periodic global weather phenomenon known as El Nino, drove extreme weather around the world.
So we know with this extra heat in the atmosphere, it brings with it extra energy, which means we get more intense extreme events.
Not every bout of bad weather is due to climate change. But climate scientists, what the World Weather Attribution website, found the fingerprints of global warming on these weather disasters. In April, Thailand and Laos broke all-time high temperature records. Scientists say that heat wave was nearly impossible without climate change. The Western Mediterranean shattered temperature records that month, and a heat wave made 100 times more likely. Southern Europe roasted again in July. So did China and the United States-Mexico border region. The southwestern U.S. city of Phoenix logged 31 days over 43.3 degrees Celsius, or 110 Fahrenheit. That's a record.
This is not a record anyone wanted to break, but it's definitely one that people in Phoenix are not happy about.
The intensity of these heat waves was almost impossible without climate change, according to World Weather Attribution. But on today's hotter planet, we can expect them every 5, 10, or 15 years. Higher temperatures dry out soils and vegetation faster. That helped make the record-breaking wildfires that ravaged eastern Canada this year at least 7 times more likely and 50% more intense. That's also what amplified the severe droughts in Syria, Iraq, and Iran, and the food security crisis in Somalia and the rest of the Horn of Africa. Both were made at least 100 times more likely.
Although Somalia makes virtually no contribution to climate change, the Somalis are among the greatest victims.
Climate change intensifies droughts, but also floods, because warmer air holds more water, which means heavier rainstorms, like the one that burst dams in Libya in September and killed thousands. The World Weather Attribution team says it was 50 times more likely and 50% more intense than it would have been without climate change. And November's torrential rains in the Horn of Africa were about twice as intense.
Already the drought has brought many people in the area to the brink of what they are able to deal with. And this now followed by floods really shows the limits of what people can adapt to are really not far off in many parts of the world. And as long as we are keeping burning fossil fuels, these things will happen again and again and again.
Forecasters say El Nino probably will taper off around the middle of next year, but there's no sign that climate change is letting up. As we continue to warm the planet, weather that used to be extreme is happening more and more often. Steve Barragona, VOA News.
In Belarus, a very close ally of Zimbabwe, searches targeting 2020 presidential election observers have been underway for days. These former observers are under watch and their phones are being inspected, and the government has issued warnings about potential criminal charges for promoting extremist activity. Maxim Adams has the story.
Shortly after Belarus presidential vote in August 2020, a wave of protests shook the country. Tens of thousands of people took to the streets against the election of authoritarian president Alexander Lukashenko, claiming the results were falsified and calling for his ouster. By mid-November 2020, police had detained over 25,000 people, according to Human Rights Watch. 3 years later, in December 2023, individuals who worked as observers during the 2020 presidential elections have been subject to searches. According to Belarusian Human Rights Center Vesna, the State Security Committee is behind the campaign. Human rights activists say those who worked as election observers have had their phones inspected and have been warned about potential criminal charges for, quote, promoting extremist activity. Opposition members believe these intimidation attempts are directly linked to the 2020 elections.
It's a known and quite a standard intimidation tactic. Parliamentary elections are scheduled to be held in Belarus in February, and we obviously call them elections without a choice. We've initiated a campaign of so-called civil disobedience. We encourage Belarusians not to vote and not take part in that farce.
The Belarusian Security Commission did not respond to VOA's request for comment. In late November, the homes of several opposition figures, Coordination Council members, and their relatives were subject to searches. Belarus Investigative Committee said the searches were part of a criminal investigation into the activities of the Coordination Council and confirmed there were more than 100 suspects.
Lukashenko plans to organize the so-called elections, but it would be more accurate to call it the day of deputy and parliament appointments. Lukashenko will himself decide who will be in the new parliament and who of his people will be in city councils. He understands the society's mood hasn't changed, and that makes him uneasy.
In anticipation of the February elections, Belarus has set up nearly 1,400 territorial and precinct election commissions. But authorities have not yet made the list of members public. The country's Central Electoral Commission says it is protecting members' personal data. Since the protests that followed the 2020 elections, all opposition and independent parties have been essentially liquidated, and many party leaders are in prison. And although the Israel-Hamas conflict and Russia's invasion of Ukraine have made Belarus' political agenda less prominent, its opposition leaders are working hard to make sure the world still pays attention.
I think a strategic dialogue has been established with the United States that will continue in future years, and particularly between the Belarusian Democracy Movement and the U.S. Department of State. This is a very progressive step, and it's something that was not necessarily expected at the beginning of the year, because the United States seemed to be completely focused on Ukraine and not giving much attention to Belarus.
In December, U.S. Senator Jin Shaheen introduced the bipartisan Belarus Democracy, Human Rights and Sovereignty Act of 2023. The bill would condemn Lukashenko's support for Russia's invasion of Ukraine, recognize Svetlana Tikhanovskaya as the democratic leader of Belarus, and pledge to support Belarus' independent media outlets. The bill also includes a provision to establish a special envoy for Belarus. Maxim Adams, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you for the report.
We need the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming this discussion live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Tonight, we are talking about the outlook for 2024, which begins Monday, and what the year is likely to bring for Zimbabweans who battle a number of problems this ending year. These include unemployment, high prices, and incessant power outages. Already, the World Bank has said Zimbabwe's economic growth will slow down to 3.5% in 2024 against the government's ambition projection of 4.5%. Commentators say the economic situation will be worsened by drought, which will leave close to 3 million Zimbabweans in need of food aid. To discuss this topic, we are joined on the phone by Mthabisi Ngwenya, a disability rights activist, and Lovson Tapiwa Gopo, a social commentator and entrepreneur. Welcome to Live Talk, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I'll start with you, Lovson. Looking at the year 2023, just a brief explanation of how you saw the year, how you viewed the year 2023, looking at the social issues in Zimbabwe and even the economic situation in Zimbabwe.
Okay, thank you. Looking at 2023 in retrospect, I'd say the year has been full of mixed fortune, eh? People have been chasing the dollar while the dollar itself has been chasing the wind. We have seen a runaway rate, exchange rate between the Zim dollar and the US dollar from the beginning of the year. But, well, thankfully, it sort of stabilized in the latter half of the year. And, you know, people continue to be enterprising so they can supplement their incomes. You know, you find people in the workplaces selling some clothes here, selling maputi or donuts there, or even chicken to ensure that they supplement whatever earnings they get and feed their families. Of course, some have also secured the much sought after COS and we have to relocate to other countries to try and search for better living, greener pastures. Then another major highlight of the year, of course, with the elections. We all know that with the elections in August, now it is come and gone. Well, maybe not quite completely yet, but generally the majority of the people, I believe, have retired back now to their usual daily grind, hoping for all the best, you know, moving forward. And then you can't mention 2023 without mentioning, obviously, the issue of the drug scourge. You know, issues of drug abuse, substance abuse that were very topical during the year. And it was just reassuring to note that at least all stakeholders, many stakeholders, the police, government, churches, educational institutions, and the society at large, have all put their heads together and, you know, recognize the need to all work together and eliminate this menace. Then, fast forward now to the end of the year. You know, almost everybody has got onto the festive mood of the, you know, Christmas and the New Year celebrations. You know, this year I saw so many people traveling to their different rural areas and other places to be with family and, you know, generally to get some retreat from the very eventful year. I know, of course, January is waiting just around the corner. You know, to those who may have overspent, you know, during this this period and ate into their rent money, groceries, and so forth. Yeah, and then lastly, maybe we pray for those who may have lost their loved ones to accidents, road accidents, and other causes. You know, it has been a tough year for many people, but we hope that people will recover and, you know, look 2024. Into the eye and into it with hope.
Thank you, Lovson. Coming to you, Mthabisi, as someone who is concerned about the well-being of the disabled, how do you view the year 2023? Ubungumnyaka olempumelelo na ubunzima obube khona yibuphi lapha?
OK, Okay, thank you, Mr. Jawoga. Let me respond in English. Yeah, looking at the year 2023, it was a challenging year, especially that the country was facing elections, and at the same time there was a economic decline. So it meant that people were now focusing more on the elections and focusing on feeding their own families. So it was very difficult. Basically, I would say it was a survival of the fittest. So now, looking at the side of the disabled people, those challenges, it was very difficult to compete in everything, even those who were involved in activities, trying to make ends meet. So it was a big challenge to compete with everybody in everything that was being done. So the year was not played on the level ground between the two categories. So it was a challenging year for them. And now we're looking at the future, 2024, now that currently there are no enough rain in the country. So it means that we are facing more challenges to come in the current situation, whereby you are having this recalling of people, these re-elections and everything. So people now are more focused on the political side of the situation rather than the economic and the empowerment of people with disabilities. So now they are facing a difficult situation again. We are still anticipating and hoping that maybe as the year progresses and if we might receive some rains and the other things stabilizes, maybe it's going to be better. But of now, the future is not very bright. So that's how we are facing it.
Thank you there, Tabisi. Titsokere kwamuri vakopo. Tanzwa Mtavisi achitarisa nyaya dzakatarisana nevakaremara achitarisa zvekare mugore ra 2024 tichitarisa mamiriro akaita munyika chii chamungatarisira mugore ra 2024 tingatarisira kuti pange pachionekwa shanduko yakanaka here uyezve kana pane zvakanaka zvingavapo ndezvipi.
Gore ra-2024 tinotongotarisira kuti pave nezvakanaka. Hatingadi kuti titange kutonyanyotyira kure. Hongu zviripo zvakawanda zvinoita kuti titarise mberi tichidedera, asi tingatongova netariro. Tinotarisirawo kuti tichaona rubetsero kubva kune mapoka akasiyana-siyana akakodzera kurwisa zvirwere zvinodhiririka zvakadai samakorera zviri kudai kuzara nyika yose. Ino nekunaya kuri kuita mvura kudai, tine tichityira kuti pamwe kudai ichabva yanyanya kuspreda kunzvimbo dzakasiyana-siyana. Asi tinotarirawo yekuti kuti vezveutano hurumende vemapoka akasiyana-siyana vachapindira ipapo kuitira kuti tisadzokere chimiro chatakaona kuna na2008 mumwe makore apo vanhu vazhinji vakapera nekorera. Tinotarisirawo zvekare kuti iyo imvura iri kunaya dai yanayawo zvekuti haiparadzi vanhu. Tinoyeuka takamboita njodzi dzakakonzerwa namaasakeni dai nezvimwe zvakadaro. Saka kana vanhu tichiona mvura ichiwanda kudai isa makwasha mudzimba vanhu vachiha pekugara, tinobva tanzwa kutya tichida kufungira kuti zvingangoitika sezvakamboita paya. Asi tinotarisirawo zvekare kuti vanhu vachaibvisa hongu yekuti mamiriro ekunze vakatiwo musouthern africa mese unotarisirwa kuita nzara nekuda kweenino. Asi tinongotarisirawo vanhu vari kurima vanei vakaonawo zvikwanisiro zvekuti varimi. Saka itarisira tichinayo uyezve kune zvidzidzo kutarisirawo kuti vana vakwanise kunge vachiinda muzvikoro vachidzidza zvakanaka. Vakawanda vari kushaya mari dzekuti vakwanise kuinda muzvikoro. Notarisirawo hurumende kuti dai yazadzikisa zvimwe zvivimbiso zvayo zvekuti vanhu vakwanise kuwana dzidzo yakachipa kana kuti isingabhadharwi kuti zviendeke, nekuti ramangwana remangwana renyika yedu riri mudzidzo.
nevana vari kukura ivava.
Tinotenda. Sipendwe kuwe Mutavisi Lapana. Looking at the year 2024, what plans are there, especially for the disabled community, looking at the wider spectrum in Zimbabwe, and also looking at your own experiences and what you are looking forward to achieve in the year 2024 as you fight for rights for the disabled?
Okay, thank you, thank you. We are looking at doing more of campaign and awareness activities in the year 2024. We expect that if we engage more players in the field, maybe things are going to be better. We are also focusing on incapacitating and empowering the traditional leaders, especially on my side. I'm based in a rural area, so we want to involve more of the leaders in helping people with different challenges, often the elderly, the disabled, and the like, so that they are also empowered. Usually, they live on making handouts from NGOs and the like, but this time we want to make the community involved in helping them through those activities which are done in the community, the funding that can be given, land to be involved in farming, involved in everything, even the educational activities that can be involved in the citizen positions in schools, so that they feel that they are part of the community. Then that way, I think they will be, they will feel that they have got something to do in life.
Thank you. Coming back to you, Lovson, you mentioned earlier one of the big challenges that we have in Zimbabwe, which is the drug problem that we are facing. What's your take on this issue in terms of what are the main causes and really where do we need to focus on as a country?
Okay, so there are basically so many causes to this scourge of drug and substance abuse, where you find that depending on who is particularly affected, you find that if you look at the youth, for example, they're trying to escape from the realities that they are facing, where, for example, at home, things are not well. Parents are struggling to make ends meet. They're sent to schools, to universities, and there they don't have, what the resources that they require daily. Some have to struggle to find accommodation, the digital tools that they require to do their schoolwork, and things like that. And as a result, they end up peddling drugs. Some abusing those drugs, and some are fighting mental health challenges due to these different causes. Some having to maybe get into prostitution and things like that to try and make a living while in school, in universities, in colleges and stuff like that. And in the end, maybe they may contract STIs and so forth. And the cocktail of all those problems are causing to end up abusing substances to try and escape those realities. And for some, it's just maybe for recreational purposes and stuff like that. Maybe it looks cool because their friends are doing that, and sometimes they think it's harmless, vaping and stuff, not knowing that maybe they're slowly getting into the hardcore stuff bit by bit. So those are some of the situations that we face regarding the issue
of drug abuse. Thank you. Mutavisi, looking at this issue around drug abuse, we see a situation where some people take drugs because they are running away from challenges, and then we also see a situation where these are recreational, and then at the end of the day, someone is hooked up. Looking at people in rural areas, are we facing the same challenge in Zimbabwe?
Yes, Katavoga, that we challenge everywhere in Zimbabwe. People are abusing those drugs, especially the youth. They are getting more into those things as a way of just occupying themselves, just to live the stress. So it is a challenge everywhere in the country, in rural areas, and it's worse in rural areas because the awareness campaigns are not being done as they are done in urban centers, even the services to help those people to come out of those drugs. There are no rehabilitation services which are enough compared to urban centers. So it's a really big challenge. And even the way people view those things, they associate those things with witchcraft and everything. They don't really understand what exactly is happening, what causes that rise, that increase in drug abuse. So it's more of being aligned with being possessed with the traditional, those traditional beliefs. Someone is Uramadozi and the like, I'm not the one which drives me over to those drugs.
Thank you. Titsoke Kwamuri Vakopo. Tichitarisa kuti tava kupinda pa weekend yatinenge vanhu vachipemberera kutanga kwegoredzwa. Ndeapi mashoko amungada kusiyira vanhu panguva iyi yekupemberera kutanga kwegore?
Ndingangoti inini fare fare tiriki. Vanhu ngavasafarisi, ngavafara tingavasafarisi. Tinoona kazhinji kufara kunoitwa pamhemberero dzekupinda mugoredzwa. Vanhu vanobva vazvinyanya kupfuuridza mwero, vamwe vozvisvika pakudhakwa zvakanyanya, vosvika pakurovana, kutemana nematemo nezvimwe zvakadaro daro. Vamwe vanosvikawo pakuita ushamwari hunozovapinza muna taisireva, vozopepuka vechimangwana vanenge vaita zvavanga vasingatarisiri kuita nevanhu vanga vasingatarisiri kunge vachizviita navo. Saka ndinokurudzira vanhu kuti vafare vakachenjera, ngavafare vari pamwechete nemhuri dzavo, vachiziva zvinhu zvakanaka nezvakashata, kuitira kuti gore iri ritange zvakanaka. Otherwise vanobva vatoritanga mumakuva nekuda kwekusachenjera kana kuti nekuparisa zvakapfurikidza mweyo.
Tinotenda. Sibuyele kuwela pana Ngwenya usiphethele uhlelo ngamafitshane laphana usithi umbiko olawo ngesikhathi sithakazelela ukuqala komnyaka omutsha.
Iyabonga. Okokuqala ngingathanda ukuthi ngigcizelele ukuthi njengoba singena eminyakeni omutsha, abantu basinyambelelaneneni, sinabekelekane, sicabangelane, ngoba eqinisweni abantu kathi nibanga ngokufana nayo, abanye sebethi lakho okuningi okokusijabulisa, okokudla lokugqoka, kubantu abanye ngabala lutho. Bese ngikhuthaza njalo abantu ukuthi ngasizijabulisa, ngasizijabulise ngokulamalawulo. Into isikhathi lapho abantu abatsha abazangena khona kakhulu entokozweni ngenakhe ukusuku konke kuze kuhle. Ngakho ngiyakhuthaza ukuthi asinanzelele nini nxa sinatha khona phana, si-avoid emsindo ingabantu.
Ye, siyabonga. Siyabonga Ngwenya. Isikhathi sesihle sasibalekela laphana. Let me take this opportunity to thank Loveson and Mtabisi for joining us tonight. That brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I am Tabo Kangcube.